All right, praise the Lord on this January the 30th, cold Lord's Day Sunday morning, 2022. And I kind of figured the Lord would have come by now, but He hadn't came yet. But the Bible says, occupy till He comes, so I'm waiting on Him to show up.
That's right.
And when He does show up, I'm not going to be occupying this place no more.
Amen.
I'm going to be occupying a place, praise God, where they don't have no, smash and grab or carjackings and killings and lying and every kind of stuff going on right in broad daylight, not at night no more, right in broad daylight. And boy, our country has become insane. Our churches are just one step behind the country. One of the things that made America great years ago, when the communists got interested in how come America was so much more superior than them, they sent spies over here to try to find out what was so good about America. Yeah. And they went everywhere. And they went to the military, they went in the factories, they went, in the stores and everything. And finally, one day they went into a church in America and they brought back this report. What makes America great is its churches. And if America's churches ever cease to be great, then America will cease to be great. And that is true even today. And our country is suffering today for that very reason right there. And we're going to be teaching today. We're going to be preaching today. And I think, you know, we need more of that today than we realize. And one thing that if you do get, informed, if you do start checking out whether things are so or not like they did in Acts chapter 17, verse number 11, well, you'll discover a few things that you might want to check out. And one of them here is this book. I heard about it, got interested enough. I bought one for me and one for my pastor. And I'm going to try to put it up here in front of this camera here. And this book right here tells about what's going on in America that ain't on the news. And I don't want to get political here today. I come to teach the Word of God here today. But this is a time that we do need to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Amen. We need to redeem the times.
Amen.
Because the days are evil. And our Sunday school lesson today is in Romans chapter 7. I'll let you be getting that out there. I put two messages on the sermon audio page of Landmark Baptist Church. Both of them I recorded from the radio. And it's information on COVID, which is affecting the churches of the living God. And you know, I don't have an S under my shirt, and I never will have. But if I did, it'd stand for saved. It wouldn't stand for,
amen,
for Superman. But
amen.
I am saved.
Amen.
But I'm in a frail body.
Yeah.
I believe it's Psalms chapter 39. I believe it's verse 4. And I'll affirm that because I don't want to just throw something out. But it says, Lord, help me to know how frail I am.
Yeah.
Yes, it's Psalms chapter 39, verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end, and my life will come to an end one day. I don't know when.
Right.
Maybe today.
Come on, brother.
I'm good to go.
Amen.
And to measure my days, what it is, I mean, it's just a handbreadth. It's just a vapor to prayer for a little while. That I may know how frail I am. A lot of people don't realize how frail they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, this Bible will help you a lot with that. We're not supposed to be hearers only. We're supposed to be doers.
Doers.
But we're going to be teaching today out of Romans chapter 7. And the reason I mentioned about those two messages I put on the sermon audio page of Landmark Baptist Church is these, I think it's something like 200 doctors met in January 2020. Not a peep. You never heard a thing about it. I'm glad they recorded it, because I heard it on Crosstalk Radio, VCY America, and it caught my attention. I was taking a long journey, and it worked out great. I got to hear the whole thing, and I thought, man, I wished I had my recorder. And they played it again, and this time I recorded that information, because these are prominent doctors that told the truth of why we're having so much trouble with COVID-19.
Yeah.
It's not only preventable, it's treatable at home. You don't have to go do anything but just kind of pay attention to what's going on. But you see, they're controlling the narrative. It works for them. The truth is what we need. And you can listen to those two messages on sermon audio. Landmark Baptist Church, Smithsboro, Kentucky. You can listen to them two messages called COVID and the Church, Part 1 and Part 2. You probably, maybe even save your life by listening to them. But we're going to get in the Word of God. This will for sure save your life. Romans chapter 7.
Yeah, I'm telling
you, buddy.
Come on.
I was a lost man till I come in contact with the Word of God, and I got good and saved. And hey, I'm not enduring, I'm enjoying. Amen. Every day I get to live.
Amen.
We're going to go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to stand for the Word of God.
Yes, Lord,
we understand the hour which we're living in.
Yes,
and Lord, I just pray, dear Father God, your blessings upon our efforts today. Lord, I pray for those that will be here physically. I pray for those, Lord, that will be watching by way of the live stream on the Facebook Marketplace Lord page we have. Thank you so much for this little church reaching out so far. Lord, we want to be diligent. We want to be good stewards. Lord, we want to do our best. And I pray your blessing upon our efforts. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the content of Romans chapter 7, I want to read the last verse first before we teach Romans chapter 7. The last verse says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And you need to remember that through this lesson right here, because Paul himself fell prey to what we're going to be teaching about even today. And I did look this lesson over more so than I normally do. My wife's in the hospital with pancreatitis. Remember her in your prayers?
Yeah.
She's supposed to get out today. She's been in there about 2 days, and I'm surprised that she even stayed that long. But anyway, the Bible tells me, as a husband, dwell with her according to knowledge, and I am trying to do just that. Verse 1 of Romans chapter 7, Paul talking to the church at Rome, he says, know ye not, brethren. Now, who's he talking to?
Saved people.
Right. He's talking to the church in Rome, and he calls them brethren.
Yes.
He said, for I speak to them that know the law.
Right.
Now, these aren't uneducated people. These are informed people. He's addressing things that are hard to be understood, Peter said.
Yeah.
And he says, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now, this is a pretty deep chapter. That's why I read that last verse first, because we do have victory over this dilemma here, this dominion of the law. And he puts it in this prospect in verse number 2. He said, for the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth.
Mm-hmm.
But if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. Now, he's using this for an example, and it is true, don't get me wrong. But he's using this, and it is a good example. As long as her husband is alive, she's his wife. And I remember me and my wife got married 46 years ago. He gave us our wedding vows, and he said, "Till death do you part." And we both said, "I do." I reminded her one day, I said, "Honey, he said, 'Till death do you part.'" She said, "Don't tell me, I've already thought about killing him." But you know those vows, they're kind of like the marriage law.
Yeah.
So long as you live, sickness, health, good times, bad, rich or poor, right, the law of the marriage is what binds the marriage and keeps the marriage.
That's right.
And Brother Melvin Sesson said, "How you doing?" He said, "Just fight it out."
Yeah.
He said, "I come home, the bags are packed." He said, "I want to know where we're going." Amen. But you know, there's a lot to a marriage. You can build one up or you can tear one down, but you gotta both work at it. Amen. I mean, I feel sorry for my wife. She had to put up with the same thing. Had been married to the devil for 13 years. But this year, I will be saved 34 years. So she got the better end of that. Amen. I mean, hey, 16 plus about 20 years, she got the best of it. I ain't real good at math. That's close anyway. 34 years. And I was 13 years lost as a goose, but I've been saved as saved can be for now 34 years. Oh, let's see here. If the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. Like I said, Paul's using this for an example.
Yeah.
And he says, verse 3, "So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead," now remember this stipulation here, "she is remarried, and her husband's still alive, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband is dead," he says, "she's free from that law."
Yes.
"So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Now, he's using this for an example. And the law of adultery in a marriage is done away with by death. And like I said, remember, we're dealing with sin and a saved individual.
Right.
And I wished I could say I never sinned. My wife, she told me one day, she said, "I ain't like you, I don't sin." And what did I do? I just went straight to the Bible. I said, "Well, hold on here a minute, honey." I said, "I believe I read right here that it says if we say we've not sinned, we lie and do not the truth." I had a duck right then as that saucer flew by.
No, you did.
It said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us."
That's right.
And verse 8 of 1 John chapter 1 says, "If we say we have no sin," a lot of people like that, they think it. You know, they're kind of like the two men went into the temple. One says, "I'm glad I'm not like other men. I pray, I fast, I pay tithes." And the other man, he just said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And God said that man went to his house justified. Mm-hmm. But here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Verse 9, a key verse, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word's not in us." All that's important.
Yes,
one of the things I do when I get up in the morning, I ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Man, Job, he prayed for his kids. He said it may be that they've sinned. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's even an inclination of sin, pray, "Lord, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, deliver me, lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake." Sin's not a laughing matter, because fools make a mock at sin. And the Bible says sin, when it's finished, brings forth death in the book of James there, chapter 1. But he says, "Therefore, my brethren," verse 4, "ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." The victory over sin And the law of sin is through Jesus Christ. And I'm, like I said, I'm kind of glad he used the example of a marriage. The best marriage to have is a faithful marriage. Mm-hmm. And we've got the most faithful part in the marriage that anyone could ever have. And it's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're a spouse to Him. And He's our husband. And that context of faithfulness can't be put in any better context than with our Savior Jesus Christ. He's the faithful husband. The Bible even mentions in, I believe in Titus, if we deny Him, He remains faithful. He can't deny Himself. He's so faithful that He's there hoping we'll come to ourselves like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 and return back to the Father's house. He is faithful. His part, no problem at all. We're the ones that stumble.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
But,
yes, we are.
He put this in the context of marriage, and by doing so, he's making a really good point right here. Verse 5, he says, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." We might as well go ahead and read verse 6. "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherewith we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Now, he's talking about things right here. The problem is the curse of the law. Mm. And our flesh was the problem.
Right.
Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, he talked about how that we were... He says, verse 20, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, but for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And you know what? A lot of sin I did, I like Paul, I did it ignorantly. I mean, I understood a little bit about sin, but I didn't understand how lethal sin was.
Right.
And he says, "Thank God for that, but now." But now, started part of verse 6, we are delivered. You see, that made a difference when Jesus got up from the dead. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Got the keys, Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. And because He got up, we live. Amen. He knew no sin, and yet He became sin for our sakes, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. And He is the faithful part of our salvation. If the Lord, if He didn't keep His part, it wouldn't matter what we've done on our part. I'm telling you right now, He's the hands and door swings on. Amen.
Right, amen.
Verse 7, Paul says, "What shall we say then?" He said, "Is the law sin? God forbid." He said, "Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet." Now, when Paul makes this statement, he had lived a pretty good life. Philippians chapter 3. He mentions here in Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to read more than verse 6. Verse 6 is the one I want to emphasize. But Paul here says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh," I'm reading verse 4, "if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh," he said, "I am more, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee." Now verse 6 here is where he got tripped up, that he mentioned, that we read right there. "Concerning zeal," he had zeal, "persecuting the church," which he said he'd done ignorantly,
yes,
"touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Now, he thought he had not broke the law. And he says here in verse 7, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin?" He says, "God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law said, Thou shalt not covet." Some people, they just see certain sins. They don't see them all.
Right.
And that's kind of what he had done.
Yeah.
And he had saw But now he was a long ways from keeping the law. And he also saw that he was condemned himself. And he's kind of bringing that out in this verse number 7. He said, I had not known sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. And without the law, we wouldn't know right from wrong, left from right. And we've got a lot of that going on today. I'm kind of watching America fall prey to substituting this for something else. We will be preaching along those lines today. But you know, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they've been told right. And then this serpent shows up in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 and all he says, yea, hath God said. Now, that don't sound like no whole lot. But Sister Sharon, he's attacking the credibility of what God said.
That's right.
And that's what's going on today.
Yeah.
In our day and time, this 2022, January the 30th, they say Jesus Christ never even existed. They're trying to do away with the AD and the BC terminology. They're saying he was a myth, he wasn't real. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can believe a lie, or you can prove that it is a lie. And without this Bible, we fall prey to that kind of logic. Because of the Marxists,
yes, we do.
The way the Marxists operate, they say if you repeat something long enough, it'll be believed as being true. And so they're saying, you know, this Bible, you can't put no stock in it. You know, it's herdsmen. You know, it's just words of men, which if you have read your Bible through, you know enough to know that's not true.
That's right.
Psalm 68 verse 11, the Lord gave the word, great was the coming of those that published it. Peter said, we've not followed cunning fables designed by men, cunningly designed by men, but we're eyewitnesses of His majesty. He says here in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's 2 Peter. That's not the one I'm looking for. That's still a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned they were eyewitnesses of what they were preaching. Here you go. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. He says, we've not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. That eyewitness, I mean, it's kind of misused today. TV has just about taking the place of the church.
Yeah, it has. You're right.
And it's got now where they can put about anything they want to on there. They've learned how to transpose, put somebody else's face on somebody else's body. I've seen them saying it's somebody else. So Jesus told us to take heed that no man deceive us. But they were eyewitnesses of His majesty. They saw what we're have before us today recorded the Word of God, and it's under attack today. And like I said, we're going to be preaching along those lines today, and I hope you stay tuned in. I believe it'd be a good message anyway.
Yes.
But Paul here talks about the knowledge of sin comes from the law. Verse 8 he says, but sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. I don't know. That's the best I can do for it. But without the law, sin was dead. You see, law brings sin to life. That's why he said, I'd not known sin but by the law in verse number 7. And without the law, sin's dead. That's why they want to take them them Ten Commandments out of the classroom. Yeah. They don't want children to know what's right from what's wrong.
That's right.
They don't want them to grow up, you know, knowing the Word of God to any degree at all. They don't want the name Jesus mentioned in our school, mentioned anybody else. They don't want no Bible in the school, and we're finding out they can't stop them. If a child in school wants to bring their Bible, they can bring it. They want to pray in school, they can pray. There's a whole lot of things that I'm starting to find out that we've been told that ain't necessarily been true.
That's right.
He says, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." And verse 10, "And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death." And the law doesn't give life. The law shows us that we need to be saved. And it's kind of like the first step in getting saved. You got to get lost. And you can't get lost without the law. And after you're lost, then you can get saved. And after you get saved, then you can do like I'm doing today. You can look in here in this Bible and get some heavenly manna. Amen.
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 But the effect of sin is illustrated by widowhood. He used that illustration of the marriage. And death dissolves the marriage contract or the marriage vow. And death frees a wife from the law of her husband.
Yeah.
Christ being crucified sets a believer free from the effects of the law. Now, I still know the law. I still know that, you know, there are consequences. I read that in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Don't play around with sin. I'm going to tell you right now, sin ain't no life and matter.
No,
if you think it is, take a look at Calvary and take a good look at Calvary.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, verse 11, "For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me." Sin will deceive you. Trying to think of a good illustration here. You know, my first excuse, I didn't know no better. You know, the policeman pulls me over and I got a license plate out back on my license plate. He said, "The reason I pulled you over, you don't have a lighter than a license plate." And I said, and I didn't know. But I said, "Officer, I'm sorry, I didn't know." He said, "Well, get it fixed." And he said, "I'm not going to give you no ticket, but I will expect you to get it fixed." And I'd drive that way home every day. The next day I had a light on my license plate. But he pulled me over because the law states that I'm supposed to have a light on my license plate. And I did, but the light bulb had burned out and I didn't know it. And they pull people over, one headlight.
Yeah.
They'll pull you over, one tail light. Well, they might let you buy one tail light, but they won't let you buy one headlight. And, you know, lights, that's the law. You got to have working lights, a turn signal. I remember when I was younger, they was talking about this older guy. He cut to the left and this car was passing him and they hit him in the side and it totaled both cars. Nobody got hurt real bad. And they took him to court. And in the courtroom, their case was built on the fact that he didn't use a turn signal. And the judge asked him, he said, "Maynard," he said, "did you use your turn signal?" He said, "Your Honor, I've lived on that road for 50
right.
years. Everybody knows where I live. I didn't need to use no turn signal." But that's kind of the way this is. Sin will deceive you, and sin will entrap you. You know, Samson got to playing around with sin a little bit, and he was a strong man. And no one could handle Samson but sin good.
Yeah,
it got him a haircut, and then it got him blinded, and then it got him down there grinding a meal for the Philistines, and then he's out making sport, you know, being a fool, being a jester, so to speak. And he finally repented, "Lord, avenge me in my eyes, restore my strength. And he did. He killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. But sin took an occasion and deceived him, and sin slew him, as great as the man Samson was. Verse 12, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Now, I can't keep those commandments. I know I can't. I know there's some people that think they can. Paul was one of them. But he had to also admit that he hadn't kept them neither. And even though he had a conscience void of offense concerning the law, when the law corrected him, he realized, you know, that, and I think that was when he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, that he got enlightened on just how crooked he was. And he said, Lord, what would you have me do? First thing he had to do was get right with God. But the law is holy. God gave us the law that we might know what's right and what's wrong. And without the law, I can't know. I've mentioned this verse, where there's no law, sin is not imputed. And that verse applies to someone that's mentally retarded. They can't know right from wrong. They're innocent. A child can't know right from wrong. They're innocent. But when there come a day that Brother Eddie knew what right and wrong was, and he knew he was doing wrong, I became accountable to the law. Verse 13, Paul says, was then that which is good made death unto me? He said, God forbid. But sin, and this is important right here, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding simple. Now, that verse says a lot.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
It says sin, that it might mm-hmm. appear sin. Mm-hmm. They just had a little affair. He's just got a little bit of problem with drinking. He's not a drunkard.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, gay's okay. Well, you know, in the eyes of man, those three statements, probably accepted, probably true. But in the eyes of God, and by the commandment of God, those are all condemned. You know, a little white lie.
There's no such thing.
Yeah. And you know, lust.
Tell the truth.
Yeah. Amen. And you know, the law helps us with this matter of sin, the subject matter of sin. Mm-hmm. Paul brought out here to the Church of Rome, he said, sin, that it might appear sin. Now, we've changed the names of sin all around, you know, and we kind of, you know, try to make it not as bad, and I didn't elaborate on some of it. But God's Word covers sin real good.
Right.
And like Paul said, I'd not known sin but by the law. But even greater than that, that sin might appear sin. Sometimes sin gets lost through changing the name of it. You know, there's a lot of this going on in our schools today, and they're catching up with it. A lot of this is kind of cloak and dagger. Don't tell nobody. I heard this week, listening to the radio, that a teacher in a classroom was trying to get a young girl to identify as a boy, and she said, don't tell nobody, keep it a secret. And what I'm trying to tell you is, sin will deceive you. Sin will slay you. And even though they change the names, even though they even change the law of God doesn't change.
Amen.
Now,
right.
The effects of the law changed. I'm no longer subject to the law, but I need to remember that the law tells me what right and wrong is. Praise God. I told you I read the last verse first. Mm-hmm. Paul said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh is the law of sin. And I want you to know, well, we got delivered from this bondage of sin through Jesus Christ and the grace of God.
Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Amen to that. Because I'll tell you right now, I couldn't measure up.
Amen.
I kind of feel sorry for those that think they can.
Yeah.
But verse 14, he says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. There's two natures of believer. You got the Adamic nature, and then you got the divine nature through the new birth. And there's a struggle. You know, like, where are you going to cater to the flesh, or where are you going to submit to the spirit? That war, that battle, we're going to be preaching on that a little bit today. But you know that that law right there, it's kind of like you're straddling the fence. One day you say, well, you know, Moses, the Bible said he saw one of his brethren being beaten by an Egyptian, and the Bible said he looked this way and he looked that way. He didn't look that way, but he looked to the left and the right, and he killed that Egyptian and buried him, and nobody supposedly knew about it. Then the next day he saw two of his brothers fighting, and he come over and said, y'all ought not to be fighting your brothers. And one of them said, well, are you going to kill us like you did that Egyptian yesterday? And he got scared. He said, sure, this thing's known. And he ran plumb out of his shoes and ended up down there, you know, where he found his wife. But, you know, that way right there, nobody ever looks that way.
Right.
Mm-mm. That's right.
They look left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. But what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. That's the dilemma of the two natures. I mean, I'm saved, but I'm in a fleshly body. This flesh is weak, and I'm tempted in the weakness of my flesh. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. I'm saved to the uttermost. Look, I'm going to heaven. I don't know when. I just know I'm going. But between here and heaven, there's a devil down here. And the Bible says he's walking about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I've heard he really likes preachers, amen. And anyway, Paul here, the preacher's preacher, Paul, he says, for that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, for what I would, I do that I do not. Let me read this. This is really worded.
Yeah, it is.
It's true.
For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. That's the dilemma of saved individuals, is we've got to put the armor on. We've got to war good warfare.
Amen,
we're not in heaven. We're the same as in heaven.
Yeah.
We're already seated in heavenly places. But there's a warfare going on down here, and it's in our body.
Mm-hmm.
That inward man is warring with the outer man.
Yeah.
The outer man wants something he can't have. The inward man wants something that the outer man doesn't want, and you're the one makes the deciding vote. Verse 16, for then I do that which I would not.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he said, I'm contradicting myself.
Yep.
He said, I consent under the law that it's good. And he says, now then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You get that sin problem, and I do too.
Yeah.
That's why I pray every day.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm telling you, the sin problem is where the problem is. Now, Christ is the cure for the sin problem.
That's right.
But the law is the instructions to let me know about the problem. So I can't shun the law completely, even though it doesn't really have any It doesn't have any advantage over me. It doesn't have any claim to me because I'm dead in Christ. My body still sins, but the man inside the body, he can't sin.
Right.
And I don't know if that even makes any sense or not, but I can take the Bible and prove it.
Yeah, it does.
He is born of God, sin if not, because his seed remains in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just tell you right now, I don't walk on the water. I'll tell you it right now, I sink.
Amen.
Yeah. Paul said in verse 18, "For I know that in, and I have met some people that did think they did walk on the water." I think we got some politicians that have got a thought like that, that they're above us.
Yeah.
But he says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh," and he put that in parentheses, "dwelleth no good."
Yeah.
No good thing, yeah. "For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." You know, it's a little bit of a struggle.
Yep.
Because you got to crucify this flesh. I think it's in Philippians, Paul said, "I die daily." Now, if I die to Eddie Wade and live unto Jesus, and that's not as easy as it sounds, well, then I don't have the battle. But since I keep trying to go back to that old Adamic nature, and you know, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world, and that's not easy to do. He says, "The good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." That's our dilemma, verse 19.
Yeah.
Verse 20, "Now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Verse 21, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Now let's put it like this right here. Can you imagine living for Jesus down here without a devil? I'm just telling you, that's why the devil's down here. He's down here for two reasons.
Yeah.
One is to defeat us.
Yeah.
And the other is to deceive the world. Now, he can't deceive us unless we let him. And I have met some people that have fell into that category because they didn't follow up with a good diet of the Word of God.
Yeah.
And they got to believe in things that wasn't true. That's why I brought this book in here today. You got to get the truth, amen. And by the way, this book's a whole lot better than that book. But this book right here is today's problems right here in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Evil is present with me." Verse 22, he said, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man."
Right.
You know, God wants to lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, but you got to let Him do it.
Yeah.
Somebody said an old Indian had two dogs. One of them was, and I ain't trying to be racist here, one of them was a white dog, the other one was a black dog. And a man asked him one day, he said, "Which one of them dogs would win if they got in a fight?" And the Indian looked at him, he said, "The one I feed the most." And that's kind of true in our life. The one we feed the most is the one that will win in our fights. If you feed yourself with the knowledge of this world and the things of this world, and then the devil shows up, you're going to be weak. But if you've had a good ample diet of the Word of God and the devil shows up like he did there with Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, well, you'll be able to quote enough Bible, send him on his way. You'll be able to resist him and he'll flee from you. But he knows what your weaknesses are. Trust you me.
Yeah.
My granddaughter said something about making some brownies yesterday, and I went and looked, she'd made any. She hadn't, but I was going to put some vanilla ice cream. I done went and bought the vanilla ice cream. But she probably make them today, or at least I hope she will. If she don't, I'll make them, amen. But that inward man. Hey, verse 23, he said, "But I see another law
in my members
warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." You see, there's always a battle, always a war going on. We're not talking about Russia invading Ukraine. We're talking about personal wars. People say, "You don't know what I'm going through." I may not, but Jesus does.
Yeah.
He's tempted in all ways as we are,
yeah,
yet without sin. And the Bible says to cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us, or He careth for us. And He says that He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He's been there. So It's not like, you know, this is some great secret, but that warfare that goes on in. I remember one time, Sister Vanya, I went back to the back bedroom of our house, and I went in there just to pray. Not really anything specific, just kind of like Daniel. Just went back there really just to pray. And to my surprise, something came out of my mouth that I wasn't expecting to come out of my mouth, if that makes any sense. I was just praying random prayers. Lord, bless my home. Bless my brother and sister Christ in their home, naming some names and stuff. And when I got to the end of my prayer, Brother Jerry, I said this right here. I said, Lord, forgive me of the times that I've been less than your expectations of me. And when those words came out of my mouth, the weight of what I said fell on me pretty hard, and I probably in the neighborhood of 30 minutes wept. Mm-hmm. Couldn't say another word. And I don't know if that was my doings or his doings, but I'll tell you one thing, it had an effect. The reality of what I just said, boy, it fell on me pretty hard. Amen. God expects us to do better, and we should. But, you know, when you say, Lord, forgive me of the times that I've been less than your expectations of me, it makes it personal. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, that was quite an experience. I've tried to be careful about praying because that became real when those words came out of me. That war and the law of my mind bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin which is in my members, you know, God knows what I can do. Mm-hmm. He knows what I can't do. He won't put more on me what I can bear. But He does expect me, you know, to do my reasonable service. Romans chapter 12, which we ain't got to it yet. Paul appealing to this church in Rome, and he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God won't put too much on you.
Right.
In verse 24 here, he says, O wretched man that I am.
Yeah.
He didn't say that I was. O wretched man that I am. That's present tense.
That's right.
Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's the dilemma of our problem, is this body and the warfare that goes on in our body, in our mind, and in our members. You know, my mind says, you know, it says something like a KFC or Hardee's, a big Whopper. That warfare in my mind, I'm sitting there, which one? You know, I mean, I've got that going on in my mind.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very bad illustration. But also, let's put it in this context.
It's all right.
The TV remote or the Bible. See what I mean? I mean, we're constantly in that dilemma of flesh and spirit every day.
Yes.
And he sums it up in this last verse. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yeah.
So then, and he says he got the victory in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory. And we do need that victory, because I'll tell you right now, we ain't going to make it without that victory. But he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how come we're going to make it, is because of our Savior.
Yeah.
And he says, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So we're always going to be in this battle of whether to do right, or whether we will do right,
mm-hmm.
or whether we're going to fall prey, fall to temptation. Let me just say this. If you do, God loves you.
Amen, brother.
If you do, God's got a plan.
Amen.
And His plan is, if we'll confess it, He'll forgive it.
Mm-hmm.
If we'll come to Him, He won't turn us away. Matter of fact, He invites us to come.
That's right.
Isaiah 1:18, He says, come now, saith the Lord, Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. God's a reasonable God. And anyway, we'll stop right there.
But you know, brother, we all of us war with our mind.
You better believe
that's
it, buddy.
That's the dangerous part up
here. And the Lord knows that. That's why He was made flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So He could understand the weakness of our flesh. That's why He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. But He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to be tempted and tested and tried. All of those. I mean, He had TNT down here. But He also was victorious down here. And He said, behold, I was dead. I'm alive forevermore. And I got the keys. I lost my keys in my truck. But you know what? My truck don't have a chip in the key. And I had a spare key back there in the back. I went up there and had three made. I got one in my billfold. Got one of them hid in the truck. And I got one on the truck. Key ring now. I'm going to get me another one of them remote door locks, but things like that happen. I lost my truck keys. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, we'll stop right there. Anybody got any word on your heart, any testimony, anything about the lesson? I don't know about y'all, but I battle sin every week.
Amen.
Oh, I mean, I don't always have a victorious week, but I'm always a victor no matter what.
We'll be back in 10 minutes.
Amen. Hallelujah.